بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad, the final and last prophet and messenger of Allah, is his true slave and messenger. May Allah salah and salam be upon him and upon the believers of his family and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Noble Quran, verse 53. Still the address and the verses are focused on the children of Israel. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making another reminder in this verse. يقول الله عز وجل وَإِذَا أَتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَالْفُرْقَانَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. And remember when we gave Musa, meaning Moses, the scripture, meaning the Torah, and the criterion of right and wrong, so that you may be guided aright. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling, and remember, when we gave Musa the Torah and Al-Furqan, meaning the criterion of right and wrong, and adding the Furqan to the book, to the scripture, this adjoining is adjoining the adjective on what is being described. And from a grammatical aspect, the adjoining in grammar necessitates distinction, and the distinction could be between two essences. The distinction could be between two essences, essence A, essence B, and it could be between two descriptions or two adjectives, adjective A, adjective B, description A, description B, and it could be also between an essence and an attribute. It could be between an essence, an attribute. For example, let us take an example. Allah says in the Quran in chapter 6, verse 1, خلق السماوات والأرض. He created the heavens and the earth. So the earth is adjoined to the heavens. This adjoining here is between two essences. Between two essences. The heavens and the earth. Who created the heavens? And you see, all praises and thanks be to Allah who alone created the heavens and the earth. So the heavens is an essence and the earth is an essence, and here there is a joining of two essences. Let's take an example in the Quran on adjoining two attributes. Take Surah Al-A'la 87, verses 1 to 4. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى. Here, as you can tell, the distinction is between attributes. Glorify the name of your Lord, the Most High, who has created everything and then proportioned it, and who has measured everything, then guided, and who brings out the pasturage. Here in this statement, in verse 53 of the Noble Quran, in chapter 2, the verse we are addressing, Allah said, الكتاب والفرقان, the scripture, meaning the Torah, and the criterion. Here there is a distinction between the scripture, which is an essence, and an attribute, which is the criterion. So Al-Kitab refers to the scripture, to the Torah, and the Furqan, the criterion, is its attribute, being a distinction between right and wrong. Then Allah said, so that you may be guided aright, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, meaning so that you may be guided with this book, which is the Torah, which is itself a criterion, which itself is a criterion, because the criterion is guidance for people, guiding to the truth away from misguidance. And the guidance in this word here, guided aright, in this statement, this is the guidance of knowledge and success. So the Torah has been sent, or was sent, as guidance. But from mankind, there are those who are guided and those who are not. What are the benefits of this verse? First benefit, that the sending of the books to mankind, sending them down from Allah, is a favor. Rather, it is from the greatest favors, because mankind cannot independently be able to know their Creator, the true knowledge, and know of His rights. Rather, they are unable to know the rights of the creatures, meaning independently. And that's why the books were revealed, sent down. Secondly, the verse tells us that Musa, that Moses, is a prophet and a messenger, because Allah gave him the book. Thirdly, the excellence of the Torah, the excellence of the Torah, because Allah generalized its name, Al-Kitab, the scripture. Indicating that it is known to the children of Israel. And when it is generalized, it is known that this refers to the scripture. Allah also called it Al-Furqan, the criterion. Just as He, Allah, called the Quran Al-Furqan as well, a criterion, or the criterion. Because these two books, the Torah and the Quran, are the greatest revealed books and mostly guiding. Listen to what Allah said, 28:49, Al-Qasas, قُلْ فَأْتُ بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ هُوَ أَهْدَى مِنْهُمَا. Say, O Muhammad, then bring a book from Allah which is better guide than these two, that I may follow it if you are truthful. Another thing, this indicates that
the Torah shares the quality of being a criterion, it shares it with the Quran. That's why it was the reference, the Torah was the reference for the prophets from the children of Israel, as Allah made that clear in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 44. Inna anzalna at-tawrata fiha hudan wa nurun yahkumu biha an-nabiyyuna alladhina aslamu lilladhina hadu war-rabbaniyyuna wal-ahbaru bima istuhfizu min kitabillah wa kanu alayhi shuhada. Verily we did send down the Torah to Musa alayhi salam. Therein was guidance and light, by which, this is the point of evidence, by which the prophets who submitted themselves to Allah will judge the Jews. It was their reference. And the rabbis and the priests to judge the Jews by the Torah after those prophets. For to them was entrusted the protection of Allah's book, and they were witnesses thereto. And from the benefits is that this verse makes also clear the transgression of the children of Israel, because if the Torah, and this is the truth which was revealed to them, was a criterion, then they come and disbelieve in such a manner and in such a way. This tells of their excessive transgression, because such a book, which is a criterion, it necessitates that they should submit and believe. But rather they disdained arrogantly and excessively transgressed, yet they had the criterion. And from the benefits of this verse is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, most blessed and most high, reveals the books and sends down the books and makes them as criterion for a noble objective, and that is guidance. Because Allah said at the end of the verse, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, so that you may be rightly guided. Sixth point of benefit. Anyone who seeks guidance, let him seek it in the revealed books from Allah. And then you know, after the revelation of the Quran, it cannot now be sought by the Torah, nor to be sought by the Gospel. This should be made clear. But the point here is that the basis for guidance is the revelation. Shouldn't seek it in fairy tales and in the stories of the priests and monks and the worshippers and the scholastic theology and philosophy and the like, but rather from the revealed texts. And that's why what is present in these books of the admonishers of tales about the worshippers and the like, we say to their writers and to their readers, it is better for you to seek the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and what has been authentically related from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and make that clear to people so that they can understand a beneficial knowledge. Because there is no way for guidance to Allah except that which Allah sent down from Him. seventh point of evidence, and this is very clear, إثبات الأسباب, affirming the causes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, so that you may be rightly guided. You do that, you will be rightly guided. And eighthly, the eighth benefit, Allah said in this verse, in the beginning of it, and remember when we gave the children of Israel, gave Musa the book, gave Atayna, when we gave this giving which is added to Allah, when we gave is of two types. First, universal. Second, it could be legal. For example, an example on the universal giving is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Qasas 28:76, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ. This type 28:76 from Surah Al-Qasas is of the universal type. Verily the Quran, Qarun was of Moses' people, but he behaved arrogantly towards them, and we gave him of the treasures, that of which the keys would have been a burden to a body of strong men. This giving is universal. The second is legal. In our example here, this surah is legal, and we gave Musa the book. This is legal. This is revelation, pertaining to revelation. So this is legal. Then Allah said in next verse 54, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمُ الْعِجْلَ فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ فتاب عليكم إنه هو التواب الرحيم. Now verse 54. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this coming verse, and remember when Musa said to his people, this is another favor coming up now. O my people, verily you have wronged yourselves by worshipping the calf. So turn in repentance to your Creator. How? By killing yourselves. We'll explain that. That will be better for you with your Lord than He accepted your repentance. Truly He is the one who accepts repentance, the Most High. And remember when Musa said to his people, my people, verily you have wronged yourselves by worshipping the calf. Here the reminder, and remember. Look what he said. Said to his people, O my people. So he called upon them, like, you know, like a nationalistic way, O my people, quote unquote. Why? To draw their kindness and come closer to them in clemency and kindness and love, and appearing to them that he really is intending good advice for them. So using these words, which will make them mild. And the man, you know, gives advice to his people in depending on the tradition, depending on their tradition, the way they take it. إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Truly you have wronged yourselves. Meaning you deprived yourselves from what it deserves because of ظلم. In this verse ظلمتم, of ظلم, originally means defect. Non-completion. Just as Allah said in Surah Al-Kahf 18:33, كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا, أي لم تنقص. Each of those two gardens brought forth its produce and لم تظلم, and failed not in the least therein. There was no defect. And we caused a river to gush forth, etc. So the point of evidence regarding what is the wrongdoing. So the wrongdoing here means نَقَصْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ حَقَّهَا, you didn't deservingly give what, you didn't give yourselves what it really deserves. You failed in that, to give it its due rights. How this? By taking the calf. Let's see the verse. By taking the calf as an idol to worship. بِاتِّخَادِكُمُ الْعِجْلَ, so you wronged yourselves because you took the calf by worshipping it. And this calf, we knew from the discussion before, was made of gold, was made by the Samiri, who was a fitna to them. He told them, this is your God. So what is incumbent now upon them, and this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put a heavy burden on them, because of so much favors Allah gave them, and they ended up worshipping a calf. So the burden was very heavy. So repent to your Lord. Let's have the verse. Turn in repentance to your Creator. فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ, البارئ meaning the Creator who takes care of his creation. It is as if here he is saying to them, كَيْفَ تَتَّخِذُونَ الْعِجْلَ إِلَهًا, how come you take a calf, this calf, as a god besides Allah, and you leave your Creator who takes care of you? This is like the saying of Elias alayhi salam to his people, as in As-Saffat 37:125-126, atad'una ba'lan wa tadharuna ahsana al-khaliqin, Allah rabbakum wa rabb aba'ikum al-awwalin. Will you call your Baal? Baal was a well-known idol of his nation, of Elias, his nation, whom they used to worship, and forsake the best of creators, Allah, your Lord, and the Lord of your forefathers? Then Allah said, فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, so turn in repentance to your Creator. Through what? By killing yourselves. Meaning, and this parenthesis that you see here, the innocent kill the wrongdoers among you, there is a discussion about that. But here, it means لِيَقْتُلْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, kill yourselves, each other. It doesn't mean that each one of them will kill his own self. No, this is by consensus. This is not the meaning. None of the people of Tafsir said that each one should kill himself. Rather, the meaning, they should kill each other. The person killing his son, or his father, or his brother. Prepare. Take your weapons. Take your swords, take your knives, The people of Tafsir differed. Did this killing occur in darkness or openly in no darkness? It is said that when they were ordered by this command, they said, "We cannot kill each other while looking at each other." Person looking to his son, killing him, to his father, killing him, to his friend, this is unbearable. So Allah shaded them with darkness, and they began to kill each other, and no one knows whom he killed. This is one saying. The other saying, rather they killed themselves openly, and that this is more profound, to denote the truthfulness of their repentance, and that when Musa saw that they were about to finish themselves, finish each other, he invoked Allah to lift this heavy burden off them, and so they were commanded to cease. And it was said that, another saying is that the weapons dropped from their hands, and Allah knows best. However, what's apparent from the text, the Quranic text, is that there was no darkness, and that they were commanded to kill each other openly. And this is more profound, denoting their true repentance and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the people of Tafsir, as you have seen in the text here, want to say that the innocent of them will kill the wrongdoer, meaning to kill those who called for the worship of the calf. And Allah knows best. However, what seems to be apparent is the first one, meaning not the innocent killing the wrongdoer, but the all killing each other. Because for the innocent to kill the wrongdoer, there is no denotion in that for the truthfulness of repentance of the criminal or of the wrongdoing. Because a person may be killed while he is insisting on the sin, and this may not indicate his repentance. So this, ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. Let's have the text again, please. Let's have the text, please, again. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. That will be better for you with your Lord. Verily, next verse, the continuation, please. فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. That will be better for you with your Lord. Then he accepted your repentance. Truly, he is the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. Yes. At-Tawwab, the one who accepts repentance, meaning the one who abundantly accepts repentance, because he accepts the repentance so much from the single slave, and his repentance upon those who are so many from the sinners whom he only Allah enumerates. And the one who is most merciful, meaning whose mercy is so vast that it comprises everything. The points of benefits of this verse, number one, that the caller to Allah should use the good and attractive way that bring people closer to him, of course he intends to give them the benefit, not for his own self. This is deducted from the saying of Musa, Ya Qawmi, O my people. There is no doubt that there is a friendly and kind approach and lovely approach in his saying. The second benefit, setting up idols to worship besides Allah is wrongdoing. Thirdly, sins constitute wrongdoing to the self. It takes away from the rights of the self. And to direct this is as follows. Oneself is a trust, and thus it should be taken care of. And from caring, the self is to keep it away from things that are harmful to it. That's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, truly yourself has right upon you. And reported by Bukhari. From the points of benefit, and this is really very, very beautiful, that one should express himself with words fitting the state of affairs. I will repeat, one should express himself in words fitting the state of affairs, fitting the condition. How is this deducted? It is deducted from the saying of Allah, فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ, and turn in repentance to your Creator. He used the word al-bari', your Creator. This is like establishing proofs, establishing evidence upon them, in the sense that the calf cannot be taken as God, because the one who deserves to be a true God is the Al-Bari', the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this, from the benefits, is obligation to repent, the obligation to repent, because Allah commanded them, فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ, turn in repentance to your Creator. And repentance must be immediate, because Allah commanded, فَتُوبُوا, and the fa, فَتُوبُوا, in the fa, the letter fa, is for ordering, meaning right after your sin you should repent. And repentance, as you know, has conditions. First condition is sincerity, meaning the drive to repent must be hoping in Allah's reward, fearing Him, and to relinquish oneself from the sin. Secondly, regret and sorrow, such that the person regrets what happened, meaning he shouldn't look at the situation as if there is nothing occurred, rather feel sorry, regret the sin. Third condition is to abandon the sin immediately, such that if he is indulging in something unlawful, he should cease and abandon that. And if he is relinquishing something obligatory, then he should bring it if he is able. And if he cannot relinquish it on time, then he should bring a substitute of it if there is one, and if not, then repentance would be sufficient for him. The fourth condition, determination not to return to the sin in the future. So his situation should not be like, well, I am repenting to Allah, while his intention is that whenever there is any future opportunity, I will do that same sin. This is not really true repentance. Fifth condition, that repentance should be in the acceptable time for it, meaning before the sun rises from the west. And before death. In both cases, there is no acceptance of repentance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, immigration, hijrah, for the sake of Allah, does not cease until repentance ceases. And repentance does not cease until the sun rises from its west, from the west. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa in 4:18, وليست التوبة للذين يعملون السيئات حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن وللذين يموتون وهم كفار. Now this is the other thing concerning death, the evidence for that. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them and he says, now I repent. Nor of those who die while they are disbelievers. For them we have prepared a painful torment. And from the benefits of this verse, again confirming the causes, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, باتخاذكم العجلة, for you taking the calf. And from the points of benefit is anyone who diagnoses the disease should mention the cure. Here is Musa alayhi salam when he mentioned that they wronged themselves by worshipping the calf, he presented them with the cure, and the cure was the tawbah, the repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal. And from this therefore we deduce that the caller to Allah, if he mentions the illness and the diseases in the society, he should mention to them the cure and the way of salvation, so that both are combined, combining the two. And from the points of benefit, the foolishness of the children of Israel, since they worship that which they made, which cannot answer them or give them response, neither cause them benefit nor repel harm. And they knew it was an idol from the points of benefit. Is the recognition of the great favors of Allah on this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How this we can deduce it from the verse? Because we knew from this verse the heavy burden which Allah put on the children of Israel, and the fetters, the bindings that were upon them, such that their repentance was not manifested until they killed themselves. However, with this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, repentance takes place by other than that means, if the conditions which we mentioned earlier, the five conditions, are met, and even if man, the person, the believer, the Muslim, does not cause harm to himself. Repentance, the way for it in this ummah, walhamdulillah, is a great ni'mah, is a great blessing from Allah. Its ways and its manners, and even in its conditions, walhamdulillah, it's a great favor. Unlike the burdens and the bindings, the burdens and the bindings put on the children of Israel, where their repentance from the worship of the calf was for them to kill each other. And from the benefits of this verse is that abandoning the sin and repenting to Allah is better than continuing on it. In fact, the person may be better off after repentance rather than before it. Meaning, if the person sins, then he repents to Allah, then his condition after the tawbah, after the repentance from this sin, could be better from his condition before it, before he sinned. Don't you see of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he ate from the tree, from the test tree, what did Allah say concerning him? Listen to that in Surah Taha, chapter 20, verses 121 and 122. وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. Then they both ate of the tree and saw their private parts appear to them, and they began to stick on themselves the leaves. Thus Adam disobey his Lord, so he went astray. Then his Lord chose him and turned to him with forgiveness and gave him guidance. So what did occur to him after his repentance? Allah chose him and then guided him after he repented from that sin. And from the benefits of this verse is making clear the favor of Allah upon his slaves, where he accepts from them the repentance if they are true regarding it. And that's why when the children of Israel sincerely repented, and killed themselves, Allah forgave them. There where he said, فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ, and Allah forgave you. From the benefits of this verse is affirming the two names of Allah, the two noble names of Allah, At-Tawwab and Ar-Rahim. At-Tawwab, Ar-Rahim. He is the one who accepts repentance, and it came in the form At-Tawwab exaggeration, because his accepting repentance is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is limitless and the most merciful. This also, these two names affirm the attributes they comprise together, meaning when they came together, these two names, a third attribute became evident, which is combining between tawbah, between repentance, through which there is an elimination of what is disliked and the harm, etc. And the other is ar-rahma, the mercy, through which what is sought is manifested. And from this we add the following benefit, that the person should seek repentance from Allah and hope for His mercy. And this is one of the meanings which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in regard the names of Allah. He said, "Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah." Anyone who enumerates the names of Allah, meaning the 99 names, enters paradise. And from the enumeration of the names is to worship Allah through what they entail. So here at-tawwab entails that the person should seek Allah for repentance, and ar-rahim should the most merciful entails that the person should seek and hope for the mercy of Allah. And one should also remember that the mercy of Allah is of two types: general, comprising all creation, believers and non-believers, the wicked and the good, and a special mercy, a particular one. This is only for the believers, as Allah said, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, and ever He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is most merciful to the believers. And this is a special mercy through which the happiness in this life and the hereafter is attained. We take a short break here inshallah, then we go to verse 55 and 56 inshallah ta'ala in a short while. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.